One of the most loved and theologically rich Christmas carols is O Holy Night. But is it just about Christmas? I am Rob West. The third stanza of that carol boldly proclaims, "Chains shall he break, for the slave is our brother, and in his name all oppression shall cease." Today I'll talk with Rachel McDonough about how investing relates to this verse and how you can be a part of it. Then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio, biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, our guest today is Rachel McDonough. Rachel is a certified financial planner and a certified kingdom advisor, and she always has her sights set on how we can engage the culture with our investment decisions. Rachel, great to have you back with us.
Thanks, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. And Rachel, as you know, faith-based investing continues to grow as a movement, and we're constantly hearing from folks who want to get involved. So what do you have for us today?
Well, I'd like to talk for a few minutes today about the connection between slavery and our investing. Now, when people hear O Holy Night, of course, they don't typically think about slavery for very long, just that one line, and they definitely don't think about investing. But actually, let's just imagine the connection right now. If you can just kind of put your thinking caps on for a moment and think through this lyric, "All oppression shall cease. In his name, all oppression shall cease." I believe that that has a lot to do with the flow of capital and how we can make intentional investment decisions as ambassadors of Jesus, and that in his name we can exhibit justice and mercy through the way that we invest, so that investing becomes more than just about risk and return, but it becomes redemptive and even relational.
Well, that's certainly a compelling vision. Give us an example of this type of investing.
Yeah, I was privy to witness the launch of a brand new investment vehicle this year, something that I had never even imagined possible before. It's a venture capital fund, so they're investing in startup companies that are for-profit businesses that are specifically focused on eliminating human trafficking and elimination of slave labor. And so this, again, is not a nonprofit. You may have thought you misheard me, but in fact, it's not a nonprofit. It's a for-profit investment vehicle. And this is a wonderful example of the innovation and creativity that we're seeing in the faith-based investing arena.
Yeah, and this is a real problem. I know folks often think that slavery ended in 1865 with the 13th Amendment, but this is a big issue today, isn't it?
It certainly is, Rob. According to International Justice Mission, there are right now about 50 million people enslaved across the world today. And so even though we think of slavery as really an issue of the past, it's estimated that the supply chain currently enslaves more people today than at any other time in human history. And if you're thinking of plantations and you know, large factories that have a large number of agricultural employees, it really just isn't that old image of slavery. These are sadly people who indirectly are working for me and you because of our shopping and investing patterns. But of course, none of us intend for that to be the case. We don't intend to have slaves working for us. It's a problem that's very hidden deep within the supply chain. So when we purchase normal everyday items from reputable brands that we know and love, or when we invest in those same companies, we may be inadvertently benefiting from forced labor or even child labor.
Wow. Yeah. And most people have no idea this is going on. You mentioned the supply chain of products we may be buying today. What types of industries are we talking about, Rachel?
Yeah, it's well known and well documented that certain industries are riddled with these complexities. For example, the coffee, chocolate, seafood, and textile industries are all known for having slave labor issues deep in their supply chain. So imagine for me just a moment, a farm in West Africa where they're growing coffee. And instead of seeing, you know, the typical workforce, the people actually out there picking coffee beans could be young children forced to work long hours and be exposed to toxic pesticides. And, you know, coffee is something, I don't know about you, but something that I'd like to keep in my diet.
Yes.
So we have to work through these issues as investors and as consumers.
Yeah. Well, it's exciting to know that faith-based investing is actually in part addressing this. We're talking today with Rachel McDonough, certified financial planner and certified kingdom advisor, about faith-based investing, and we'll have much more just around the corner. Stick around.
For American Family Radio, I'm Charles Morris with Haven Ministries, inviting you to anchor your day in God's Word. Camping. It's almost as American as baseball and apple pie. Tents, campfires, hiking, wildlife all over the place. Whether you're in a desert or a mountain forest, there's a campsite waiting for you. But that doesn't mean all camping trips are created equal. Far from it. Sometimes they go off without a hitch, other times it rains, even snows. You discover the hole in your tent, or a bear runs off with your sleeping bag or some food while you were out hiking. But there's one tent that's better than any campsite, God's tent. It's where He dwells. And through Jesus Christ, we're welcome there. As King David once wrote, "I long to dwell in your tent forever and take refuge in the shelter of your wings." Get started with Anchor Devotional today. Visit GetAnchor.com.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at EventideInvestments.com. That's EventideInvestments.com.
Here's Pastor Jeff Shree with From His Heart Ministries.
How many people come to church and they're chained to a bitter spirit and all sorts of problems, chained to greed and selfishness? Even when they want to break free, they can't seem to break free. Worship Him and praise Him and let Him remove the chains.
Learn to break the chains forever through Christ. Join Pastor Jeff Shreve on From His Heart, weeknights at 6 Central here on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from LightPoint Portfolios, which seeks out family and faith-friendly investments for 401k and 403b plans, integrating faith values and fiduciary duty. LightPoint Portfolios offers retirement plans for a variety of organizations, such as businesses, nonprofits, and churches. And we're grateful for their sponsorship of the MoneyWise program. More information is available at lightpointportfolios.com.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Thanks for joining us on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with any financial question. I'm Rob West, your host. Joining me today, Rachel McDonough. We're talking about faith-based investing, and specifically in this portion of the broadcast, how some of the products we're buying include forced labor in the supply chain that actually gets them to market. It's a huge problem today. It's Rachel said before the break, according to IJM, more than 50 million people around the globe are estimated to be enslaved more than any time in human history. And Rachel, you were sharing some of the industries where this slave labor is involved, and you mentioned chocolate and coffee. Those certainly hit close to home. Why is this such an important part of their business model?
Well, slave labor really is an issue of supply and demand. And when we create the demand because we like to purchase items like chocolate and coffee, it creates a demand. And as shoppers, we like to have low prices. One of the things that keeps prices low is slave labor. When you have dirt cheap labor, you're able to have a very competitively priced item on the shelf for a shopper to look at.
Yeah.
And the same happens for investors, right? So if we kind of take our shopper role and switch to the investor role, When we're investing, low prices mean higher profit margins. And when we keep buying and the profits keep going and the dividends keep growing, investors like to see that too because the share prices are going up. And so inadvertently, without knowing or having any intentional of malice, the attractiveness of these companies that have inexpensive labor, it just looks really good to portfolio managers and to investors who are unaware of the underlying issues. So either way, whether as shoppers or investors, you know, that slave labor keeps the cost of goods low, drives up profitability, which we like as consumers and investors. And so it's really this win-lose supply and demand economic system.
Yes.
Where we're unknowingly creating demand and criminal middlemen are providing the supply of cheap slave labor.
Well, we need to shine a light on it as you're doing today, because as we said, most consumers have no idea this is going on in the supply chain of many of the products they're buying. Of course, many of our listeners, Rachel, give to nonprofits, and those are on the front lines in many cases of battling to end slavery. But you make the point that really that's not going to get it done with donations alone, is it?
That's right. And donations are an important place to start. But if we really want to see change, we have to change the way we shop and the way we invest. Human traffickers are 100% in it for the money. Human trafficking is extremely profitable business. The International Labor Organization estimates profits of $150 billion per year as of 2020. And this criminal industry, of course, has only grown since then. So until the profit dries up and the money changes direction, this activity is going to continue.
So it's about changing our buying habits, but also our investing. So let's get specific, Rachel. What can Christians do about this?
Yeah, on the shopping side, I have to be the first to admit that I'm really still learning. And it's important for us to continue sort of learning and researching and wrestling with these issues. But on the investing side, I have good news. There really are clear, actionable solutions on the investing side. The databases already exist that track information about labor conditions and supply chains. And so, you know, I've heard people argue that it's not really perfect. We can't, of course, 100% guarantee that there's no profit coming from exploitation. But let's focus on the fact that there are these resources available and there is something that we can do about it. So while change can be uncomfortable and inconvenient, if we're willing to learn and research and understand the different options that are already out there, once the portfolios get updated, it takes very little effort to maintain. And there are also some wonderful low-cost options that are available. So if we can care enough to slow down, learn about the options, then that's really a positive way for us to show love to our exploited neighbors across the world by changing how we invest.
Yeah, and at the end of the day, Rachel, these faith-based investing companies are intentionally choosing companies to invest in that are creating value for their shareholders, but also where the supply chain does not include any of this forced labor. And I would imagine as capital is directed away from the companies that are using the forced labor, that's going to get their attention over time, right?
It certainly does. We saw that happen in South Africa with taking down apartheid. It was really investors who caused a tremendous amount of change to come. So in our practice, we encourage all of our clients to align their investments with their values. And freedom is, of course, one of the top values for many of our clients. The thing is, Rob, the investment approach for each investor depends on several factors. So there's not really a one-size-fits-all type of solution. But their preferences for risk, their need for liquidity, and the amount that they want to invest will determine the right style of investing for that client. So just as an example, the venture fund that I mentioned earlier is really only available to accredited investors who have, the simplified definition would just be they have around $1 million plus to invest. But there are also direct indexing type of solutions where investors can choose from a menu of both positive and negative screens, meaning things they want taken out or added into their portfolio. And those are typically available for investors with $250,000. And then there are also mutual funds and ETF investments that are ethically screened, And those are available to investors of literally any size.
Yeah, that's really great. Well, Rachel, we began this discussion today with a Christmas carol. So during this season and heading into the new year, perhaps it's a great time to reassess our investments, isn't it?
It is. And especially when there's some market volatility like we've been seeing, there are often tax-savvy moves that an investor can make before year-end to take advantage of harvesting some of the tax losses out of their current investments that might be down. And then at the same time, repositioning into a portfolio that aligns with their values and helps to eradicate slavery.
I love that. Well, we're about out of time, Rachel. I'd love for you to just tie a bow on this to continue our Christmas theme, and maybe you can sum it up for us.
I'd love to. I would say in closing that even though slavery is highly profitable, it's obviously not the kind of profit we want. And when we join forces with heaven and with our Christian brothers and sisters around the world, we can help to break chains and cause oppression to cease. I just want to close with reading from Isaiah 61:1. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news for the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for the prisoners.
Rachel, I bet this is a brand new idea for many of our listeners and an exciting one, too. And I know you're excited about where this movement is headed in the future, aren't you?
I sure am, Rob. Thank you so much for allowing me to share.
Absolutely. We appreciate you joining us today. Well, certified financial planner and certified Kingdom advisor Rachel McDonough has been our guest today. You can learn more about Rachel at wealthsq.com. That's wealth squared at wealthsq.com. All right, your calls are next. The number to call, 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000 with any financial question. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. For a bit longer anyway, we'll change our name in the new year. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Too busy to catch your favorite shows on the radio? Have no fear, because the AFR app is here. Download the app to have access to live broadcast, music streaming, as well as each podcast. Whether you're at work, at home, or on the go, it's easy to listen to AFR.
The AFR app is available not only for Apple and Android users, but also on Amazon Alexa and Roku.
Download the AFR app today at AFR.net.
What if buying groceries, gas, or dining out could help change lives? With Christian Community Credit Union's Cards That Give to Missions, you can help spread the gospel, combat human trafficking, and protect vulnerable children with every purchase at no cost to you. Apply for your card today. More information is available at joinchristiancommunity.com. That's joinchristiancommunity.com. The credit union is an underwriter of this ministry. Membership eligibility required.
What does the American Family Association stand for? AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children. These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. For more than 30 years, they've been helping Christians reach their financial goals with step-by-step guidance for investors at every stage, from those just getting started to those getting ready for retirement. Through scriptural principles and practical suggestions, SMI offers financial wisdom for living well. More information, including the short video webinar on profit and peace of mind, no matter what's happening in the market, is available at soundmindinvesting.org.
This year has just flown by. I know, it's already December.
As 2022 comes to a close, the AFA Foundation would like to invite you to make a planned gift to American Family Association. Consider the many ways your planned gift can help restore a biblical worldview in our nation, as well as bring financial stability to your family. Call 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit our website at afafoundation.net.
Hey, Greg, I need some advice.
Oh, what's up?
I'm really struggling with finding ways to cut back. With costs going up, especially in healthcare, what do you guys do?
We use CHM, Christian Healthcare Ministries. It's a health cost sharing ministry that's been sharing members' eligible medical bills for over 40 years. Sure helped us stick to our budget. Here's the website, chministries.org.
chministries.org.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We're about to take your calls and questions today on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Here as we head toward year end, this is a great time for me to remind you before we dive into the phones today that it's the last day for our $50,000 match here at MoneyWise Media. That's right, we're a not-for-profit, listener-supported ministry, and when you make your tax-deductible gifts by year end, you'll help us close the year strong. But today in particular, we had a generous donor step up last week and say, during this week that we're wrapping up right now on the last day of our broadcast week, we're going to match dollar for dollar gifts to the ministry up to $50,000. And so if you make a gift to the ministry today at moneywise.org, your impact will be doubled and you'll help us close the year out and plan for our ministry activities next year. That's how we bring you this broadcast and all of the resources through MoneyWise Media. So if you'd consider a gift today of any amount to help us fully subscribe this $50,000 match, we would certainly be grateful. And I mean that. $10, $100, or if you can do $1,000 or more, all the gifts matter and they'll all be doubled. You just head to moneywise.org and click Give Now at the top of the page, and thanks in advance. All right, number to call today is 800-525-7000. We're looking forward to hearing from you today with your calls and questions on anything financial. All right, let's go to our first caller today. How can we help you? Hi there. All right.
Good morning, Rob. Thanks
oh,
for
hi.
Taking my call.
Yes, sir. How can I help you today?
I have a college loan and credit card loan combined totaling about $15,000. And my monthly payments on these plus the home loan made life pretty challenging. So my wife and I chose to sell our house that we purchased in 2018 and use the $70,000 profits to get out of debt and get a more reliable car, and we plan to buy another home with a VA loan. Since this is my first home sale, do I get a pass on capital gains taxes, and how would you advise me regarding this year's income tax filing?
Yeah, very good. So let me just clarify a couple of things. It really doesn't matter whether it's your first home sale or not. The key is, and this is the test, did you live in this home as your primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years?
The answer is yes.
Okay. So if you lived in the home 2 out of the last 5 years and you filed, do you file married filing jointly?
Correct.
Okay, then you'd have up to $500,000 in gains that could be excluded from capital gains tax. And so that's not the selling price. That's $500,000 in gains that would be excluded. So what was your profit on the sale?
$70,000.
Okay, yeah, so 100% of that $70,000 would be excluded from capital gains. So you'd be able to take 100% of this, and whether you redeploy it into another home or hang on to it, stick it in savings or buy a car, you're not going to have any capital gains on it whatsoever.
Wow. Well, thank you. That's exciting news.
I can imagine. So what are you planning to do from here? Are you all buying another home or have you already?
Yeah. We got into an apartment to get out of the house to sell it. So we have the 1 year lease, which we'll be fine with now that we've sold the other home. But we will be looking to get into a new home sometime. Do you have any idea of suggested timing of purchasing a home in light of the fact that we're sitting in a lease for about another 9 months?
You know, it's a great question. I think the timing will actually work out quite well for you. I mean, obviously, I don't know exactly what's going to happen. Are we going to be in a full-blown recession 9 months from now or not? There's probably a greater likelihood we will be in some sort of a recession next year. Mm-hmm. How deep and how quick that's going to kind of work its way through obviously remains to be seen. And could we avoid it and have the Fed engineer what they're calling a soft landing? It's possible. It doesn't look likely. Regardless, though, I think the big idea here is that the housing market is continuing to soften. That's where these high interest rates are going to have the most effect in terms of taking this red hot housing market, that's just been raging. And not only because of low interest rate, but because also we've had a significant shortage of houses in this country in terms of the need, about 2 to 3 million homes below the real need. And so that was part of what was driving the demand. And then you add the pandemic on top of that, where folks were moving out of urban areas. And now you've got the millennials that are reaching age 30 and having kids and moving into a single family home. So all that together created this really strong seller's market. That has changed. Houses are now on the market for, I think, an average of 45 days now, as opposed to just a few days. And we've seen decreases in the housing market of around 6 to 7%. That will likely continue into next year. And so I think if you can, somewhere between 9 and 12 months from now would probably be a great time to buy, just because I think we'll see a continued softening, which would put you in a really strong position in terms of, being ready to step into this market with cash or at least a large down payment and find a home that's a great fit for you. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Good. Well, you're very welcome. Listen, all the best to you in this exciting season as you think about your next home, perhaps a little bit off, but I know it's always good news that you don't have to pay any taxes on it. So thanks for your call today. God bless you and Merry Christmas. Hey, before we take our next break here, a quick email. This one comes to us from Allison, and she writes, "We are debt-free. We're trying to decide what to do with our disposable income. We have $15,000 in savings. Do you have any advice?" Well, first of all, Allison, congratulations on being debt-free. That's incredible. What I would say is make sure you keep 3 to 6 months living expenses in your emergency fund. And so if that would be included in this $15,000, let's go ahead and earmark that and leave it right there. And then perhaps if you have anything beyond that, I'd look at other medium-term goals. Do you need to replace a car anytime soon? Are you trying to save for a down payment on a house? If so, let's keep that money in savings as well. If not, what a great time to open a Roth IRA, get that money growing for your retirement on a tax-free basis. Allison, again, congratulations. If you'd like to write to us for your question to be read on the air, send it to questions@moneywise.org, and we'll be right back. Stay with us.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
On the next Focus on the Family, a homicide detective describes how he investigated the life and impact of Jesus Christ across thousands of years of human history. Is there enough evidence, apart from the Bible, to prove that Jesus really was the Son of God? Next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
We are grateful for support from Eventide Investments on the MoneyWise program. Eventide's approach to values-based investing is grounded in the belief that humankind was created in the image of God, with intrinsic dignity, value, and worth. Eventide calls this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at eventideinvestments.com. That's eventideinvestments.com.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
The increase in gender confusion and the decision to physically alter one's birth sex has risen by over 3,000% in males in the last 10 years and over 5,000% for females. This tragedy is overwhelming. I'm Sam Rohr, host of Stand in the Gap Weekend, heard Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time. Join me and Brian Osborne from Answers in Genesis as we address the theme, When Trans People Regret Transitioning, Sunday from 6 to 7 p.m. Central Time.
We are grateful for support from Sound Mind Investing in the MoneyWise program. If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes seem like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Well, thanks for being with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. This is the portion of the broadcast where we take your calls and questions on anything financial. What are you thinking about today as we round out the week and head toward Christmas, head toward a new year? We'd love to hear from you with your financial questions today. We'll see if we can help you apply God's wisdom from the Bible to your financial decisions and choices. 800-525-7000 is the number to call, and we've got a few lines open. Let's head to Arkansas. Hi, Shirley. Thanks for calling today. Go ahead.
Hello. I'd like to follow up on what your guest at your opening segment said, and recommend a website called SecondVote.com.
Okay.
They do not deal with how companies get their money, but they do deal with how companies and organizations use the profits that they get, whether they support and invest in liberal or conservative causes. Mm. Their motto is that your first vote is at the ballot box, but the your second vote is with your wallet.
Yeah.
And they rate companies, give them a numerical rating. Mm. It's really good on the shopper side to know when you're purchasing something at the grocery store what that company supports and does with the money that they're making off of you, the shopper.
Sure. Yeah, very good. Well, thanks for sharing that, Shirley. I completely agree. And I think, you know, one of the exciting things about what's happening in the faith-based investing space in particular, you're talking about retail as well, but in the investing space in particular, is the whole shareholder advocacy movement among believers as they are taking their ownership, albeit a very small percentage. But if you own even a fraction of a share, you're entitled to vote a proxy and show up at the shareholder meeting and contact shareholder relations. And, you know, so often Christians are absent from those conversations, and believers are now stepping up to say, listen, as owners of these companies, we're going to express our values. And real change is occurring. So whether it's how you direct your dollars and deploy your capital and how you reflect and articulate your values to the companies that you're investing in, I think you can make a real difference. So I appreciate you calling out this website, secondvote.com. You mentioned that the first opportunity is at the ballot box, and there's a website for that as well, and it's AFA Action's iVoterGuide.com. So make sure whenever you're preparing for an election, you check that out as well. And Shirley, thanks for your call today. 800-525-7000. We've got some lines open. To New York we go. Hi, Joe. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi. So I'm calling. I'm just really looking right now. I have three young children. I want to know what the best account would be to open for them. I'd like to gain interest for them, but more for personal, but also school. If they're separate, I don't know. I've never really done this, but I want to start saving money for them and putting in a little bit every week just to be safe.
Yeah, I like that idea, Joe. You know, there's a great tool if you want to specifically earmark it for college called a 529 college savings plan. But do I hear that you want it a bit more broadly available?
I do, because I could put it towards that if I needed to when it came down to it. Yeah. More so just like their funding.
Yes. And do you think there's a chance that they would qualify for need-based financial aid when they get to college age?
I don't know what that's based upon.
Okay. Yeah, it really has to do with your income and assets. So you may want to check that out because,
slightly, need-based, it's called? Okay.
Yeah, need-based financial aid would be, you know, if your assets and income fall below a certain level, you may qualify for federal student aid, and that would come through filling out the FAFSA, the Free Application for Federal Student Aid, and then they'll come back with your expected family contribution based on your income and assets. And the reason I ask about that is that's one of the benefits of the 529 is that it's treated more favorably as an asset of the parent, which is factored in at a much lower percentage than something that would be treated as an asset of the child. So if we open a custodial account, which would be one of the other options for setting money aside for kids, that becomes the child's asset at the age of majority, regardless of what decisions they're making, their financial maturity, their spiritual maturity, any of that, they would automatically get the money and could use it to save and invest, pay for college, or buy a sports car. So, you know, you kind of have to make that decision ahead of time. But the two downsides to the custodial account are, number one, they are just automatically going to get that money, so you lose control over it. And number two, it's considered an asset of the child when determining the need-based financial aid for college. And that is factored in at a much higher percentage. And so if that account has grown quite a bit, it's going to hurt their ability to get federal student aid at that point. So that would be two reasons why you don't want to do that. So if either of those are concerning to you, either you want more control over when they get it, or you think there's a chance they'll qualify and this could hinder their ability to get that need-based financial aid, then the last option would be you just maybe set up some brokerage accounts, either in an individual account in your name, or if you're married, in you and your husband's name, and just start systematically, as you said, every week, making a deposit into each of these accounts, one earmarked for each child, not in their name, but earmarked for them, and then decide at that point how you want to invest it. Do you want to, you know, put it in the stock market and buy some index funds and just capture the broad moves of the market over the next however many years between now and whenever you might want this to be available for them? Or do you want to be, you know, a bit more conservative than that? Give me your thoughts on all those ideas.
Well, so I think the 529 is the college fund. I think my friend started for her child, and what it is once it matured, her child did not go to college. Therefore, the funds were pulled, and she had them, not the child, the parent. Is that correct?
Well, based on grants and scholarships, you can pull the money out on a pro rata basis. If they don't use the money and it's not because of grants and scholarships, they just don't go to college or something like that, then it would have to be transferred to somebody else to use for qualified educational expenses. It could be the parent because they want to go get a master's degree, or it could be another child, in the family, let's say, and it can be transferred to them. And then as long as it's used for qualified educational expenses, then there's no taxes on the gain. If it's pulled out, though, then there would be a penalty on it if it's not used for qualified educational expenses.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay. Yeah, I appreciate telling me about the custodial, because that was where I was going to head. But I don't want them to be in complete control, because everyone's going to be different at a different age.
That's right.
Maturity-wise.
Exactly.
So the brokerage account. Okay, that sounds more like it as far as just me being able to gain, but earmarking it for each one of them, because I do want to do deposits weekly. I just want to make sure that they're set in whatever way. And obviously, when they get older, we can discuss what they need to do with it. So
that's right. And if you want some suggestions on how to invest that, I'll give you two options that'll work well for the kind of account you're talking about, where you're talking about starting with essentially nothing and then slowly building it up. You might want to look at the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. It's what they call a robo-advisor, very low cost. You can do weekly investments. It'll automatically be reinvested every time you make a deposit. And that's, you know, we'll get you into a kind of a broad market index. It's called the Schwab Intelligent Portfolios. Or you could visit our friends at soundmindinvesting.com. They have a really simple way that you can open a brokerage account at Fidelity or Schwab, and then they'll recommend mutual funds for you. Thanks for your call, Joe. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
As they left the manger, they couldn't keep quiet about what they had seen. They told everybody. Their lives would never again be the same. The sky would never again seem so dark. They would know that just as they had kept watch over their flocks, there was now somebody keeping watch over them.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Why the Nativity, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
Hi, this is Pastor Robert Morris. I'm often asked, how do I grow in my relationship with the Lord? How do I hear God? What is God's plan and purpose for me? I want to personally invite you to join me on Sunday mornings right here on AFR for worship and the Word. And we will discover the answer to these questions together. We'll explore the truths found in God's Word that will help you strengthen your faith and develop a more intimate relationship with Him.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
My name is Kent, and I'm a member of Christian Healthcare Ministries. I have a friend who actually has great insurance, and she recently had a life-threatening experience. And she was laying in the hospital bed afraid, not afraid for her life, but afraid of what her insurance would or would not cover. And as a CHM member, I can honestly say I just never have that fear. I can't tell you the peace of mind that provides.
Learn more about Christian Healthcare Ministries' biblical cost sharing at chministries.org.
Hey, great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Taking your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Here on a Friday morning, what are you thinking about? 800-525-7000. Back to the phones we go. Let's go to Georgia. Hey, Brad, you're next on the program, sir. Go ahead.
Morning and Merry Christmas. I wanted to get maybe an answer about the digital dollar concept. Yeah. What I'm understanding is that they're going to do away with cash maybe at some point in time. How realistic is that concept to be implemented?
Yeah, it's very realistic. It's just a long way off. You know, these are called central bank digital currencies, and think of it as essentially a digital dollar. The Treasury Department recommended moving forward on the development of this as a part of the White House's request that they study it. And the framework in the president's executive order outlined the government's approach to digital assets and asked all of these different agencies to look into it and make policy recommendations. There's over 100 countries right now that represent about 95% of the global gross domestic product that are exploring a digital currency. And with the U.S. stepping up its activity as of late, nearly all these countries are going to be looking to us to see what Washington comes up with, because they're going to want their currencies to work with the world's reserve currency. It's a good ways off. The digital euro is scheduled to go online in the middle of the decade, and a digital dollar is pretty far behind it. It'll most likely be several years before anyone's using a digital dollar in normal life. They've got to build a model that works, and you know, there's going to be a lot of folks looking to see how they do that. China, to put it in perspective, started working on theirs in 2016, and they're still in the pilot phase. Now, it's a massive pilot, but that just gives you an idea of how long this takes. Now, keep in mind, the central bank doesn't have the authority to do this. It's constitutionally clear that coinage is a congressional function. The central bank won't regulate it. They regulate banks. So it's going to be hard to get legislative buy-in, I think, due to the lack of trust and just the potential for, you know, government oversight and overreach with this digital dollar. I'm not saying it's not going to happen or it can't happen, but it's hard to get consensus on anything with divided government, and this is going to be right in there with it. So it'll be interesting to watch and see kind of how this continues to progress, but I think we're a good ways off, Brad, from anything, you know, being available to use anytime soon.
Okay, so let's just say that it did start to come into fruition. What would happen, say, if you had some cash, you know, in your own private little safe at the house or something, you know, and what, I mean, do they have, a situation where you would turn in the cash or something and it would apply to the digital amount?
Yeah, I mean, what would likely happen is that we would have both, and, you know, whether that would, the physical dollars would ever go away would remain to be seen. So you could arguably still have cash on hand, even though you're using the digital dollar. It would just be, you know, the idea is that if it's designed well, that transactions become quick and easy. And so the dollars are legal tender. So businesses would have to accept these, and these would be stable because they're tied to the dollar. The you know, volatility of Bitcoin relative to the dollar is a downside, and you know, but if we were efficient and good at it, it would help promote the dollar as the de facto world currency, which it is today. The question and the concern on the most folks' part is, this can be done with or without privacy. And, you know, that's, you know, when we talk about, you know, getting into big data and it's, you know, privacy falls short. And that's where a lot of, folks have concerns about, you know, just the government's visibility into all transactions. There's, you know, a much smaller scale basis, you know, idea going on right now is this change on these payment platforms, where now Venmo and PayPal are going to have to report any transactions for goods and services, you know, above $600 to the IRS and issue a 1099-K. Well, now all of a sudden these transactions that were, you know, just done between private parties, you know, for the sale of goods and services, which were taxable if they needed to be, that's not changed, are now all of a sudden going to be visible to the IRS. Well, I mean, that's just one more example of, you know, oversight, you know, into our financial lives. And, you know, that would come with these digital currencies as well. Now, there's a case to be made about expediency and security and, you know, all of that. And again, it can be done with privacy in mind. The question is, will it? So I think, you know, we're a long way off from it. We'll get a lot more information as all of these different policymakers and departments come back with their policy recommendations, and we'll just need to watch very closely to see where this is all ultimately going to head.
Okay. Well, I would prefer it be a very long ways off, but I'm not, my trust factor is not real high with our current administration. I'll just put it that way.
Yeah, well, and I think that, you know, that's going to be, I mean, the Fed doesn't have a lot of trust right now, too, just because of what's going on in this country. And so I think that this is going to be a pretty interesting legislative battle for, you know, policymakers as they kind of work through this one. And it's going to be difficult to get consensus on it for the reasons you mentioned, which is shared by a lot of folks out there. So we'll continue to watch it, Brad, and bring updates along the way. But I appreciate you asking the question and checking in with us today, sir. God bless you. To Nebraska we go. Hi, Iris. Thanks for calling. Go ahead.
Hi, this is Iris Dutton calling from Ponca, Nebraska. I inherited some land, and I haven't 13-acre piece of land I'd like to divide into sections for rural housing. And I just wanted advice about doing that.
Yeah. So you're wanting to just parcel it out and then sell it off. Is that right?
Yes. And then put the money into, we have a small ministry, and put the money into developing another piece of land that I inherited from my grandmother.
Okay. So are you wanting the money, the proceeds to be given to the ministry, or are you wanting to keep them separate so you can go in and buy more real estate?
Well, I separate right now. We do have an LLC, a farm LLC.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So, you know, I think the key is to, you know, first of all, decide kind of how you want to handle this. If you wanted it to go directly into ministry, you would want to make a gift perhaps to a donor advised fund prior to the sale so that you wouldn't have any, you know, tax implications and the money could be given away a much larger amount because you don't have any taxes on it could be given away to a ministry of your choice. So, you know, that's a very effective strategy. But if you're not ready to give it away, you want to take the proceeds and just turn around and use it to, you know, purchase more land, you could certainly do that. I think the next step is for you to get a real estate attorney to help you, you know, divide these parcels up and get them ready to be sold, and then do some planning to make sure that depending on ultimately how you see this playing out with the LLC and the ministry and the future purchase of real estate, that you're structuring the deal the right way so that you minimize the taxes and have as much available as possible to go toward your future endeavors. And that's where, you know, getting with a real estate attorney, but also perhaps talking with the National Christian Foundation, I think could make a lot of sense. They have gift planning attorneys on their team and could look at this from a charitable standpoint just to make sure that you have as much available as possible. Do you have a real estate attorney, Iris, that you've worked with in the past, perhaps?
Not an attorney. I do have a friend that's a real estate agent that told me to start just getting information from a surveyor and the county. We don't have any zoning here in Dixon County, and, you know, septic and water, well water. And I started doing that, and so far that's working out, just getting estimates. But I didn't hear what you said. Was it a donor advisory fund?
A donor advised fund, yeah, is a tool. Think of it as like a charitable checking account, and you can gift not only cash into a donor advised fund, but also assets like a business or a stock or a piece of property. And essentially, you're giving it away when you do that, but you direct where the proceeds go. So by transferring the property into a donor advised fund before it's sold, there is no taxes on it when it's sold. And then that money could be given away, 100% of it, to a ministry of your choice, any not-for-profit. So that's a way, if you knew you wanted that money to go into ministry, for you to avoid paying the tax so more is going into God's work. I would also call your local planning, zoning, or development office, and they can tell you the subdivision process for your area and give you any information on, as you said, there's not really any zoning restrictions, but you'd want to know if there's anything at all that you need to be aware of. So that would be a next step there. And then a real estate attorney can help you make all of that happen. So I think you're doing the right things in terms of doing your homework, but I think, you know, talking to your local zoning or planning office, calling a real estate attorney, and then depending on your charitable giving desires, that's where a donor advised fund potentially could be a great tool to minimize the taxes and get more money going into ministry. All the best to you, Iris. This sounds like an exciting project. It's going to take some time, but I'm sure you'll be thrilled once it's all behind you. Thanks for calling today. We appreciate it. Well, folks, that's going to do it for us today. We're delighted that you were along with us today on MoneyWise. As we round out the week, let me remind you once again, it's our last day to get in on our dollar-for-dollar match here at MoneyWise Media when you make your tax-deductible contribution at MoneyWise.org. Right there at the top of the page, just click Give Now, and any amount will help as we head toward year-end. Well, on behalf of my team here, Pat Montague, Jim Henry, and Devin Patrick, I'm Rob West, and we'll look for you next time on another edition of MoneyWise on American Family Radio. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.